We turn to the second book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, where we read the first 10 verses and then verses 20 and 21, as the bulletin indicates. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, beginning at the first verse. This is the word of the Lord. Hear it with faith. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the Asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, every man to his possession. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites, division by division, each according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord and to give thanks and praise. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings of morning and evening and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, the new moons and the appointed feasts as it is written in the law of the Lord. And he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been dedicated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month they began to pile up the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and all the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. And Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. Azariah, the chief priest, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring their contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and had enough and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left." Now going to verses 20 and 21. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law of his and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Let me read that last verse again. That's the text for this morning's sermon. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Beloved in the Lord, recently the body of a former parishioner of mine in Michigan was laid to rest. And we were reminded again of the fact that when this earthly life is finished and is history, we recall some of the things that such a person did which were so good and which we ought to emulate. We also think of things that we might want to avoid. But all of those judgments about those who have gone are only done in frail and fallible reasoning by human beings. But when we read the story of the people in the Bible, then we have an infallible commentary on their lives, a commentary from God himself. And that's true of Hezekiah here. There's a testimony in this verse to him. There's the revelation about his life and the example that it gives us. Those are the three things we'll look at. Now, it sure is confusing to try to keep all of those kings straight, isn't it? I can't do it. I suppose that there's a person I remember from a former church that I was serving who went away from the Lord for a few years, then came back and was so sorry for all of that he memorized several books of the Bible. He could just recite them. And I suppose he might be able to keep all of those kings straight. But I surely can't. I know that. But there's a pattern here, you see. There's a pattern to the faithfulness of the Lord in His covenant grace. Often people spurned the covenant in those Old Testament times, just as we do oftentimes today. And yet God, in His faithfulness and in His patience, preserved His people. He always said there will be a remnant. Especially did He maintain Judah, from whom our Savior came. Now, the record of some of those kings show they were typical of what the Savior would be like. David, we think of right away, because the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Prophecy said that the Son of God would always have someone sitting on the throne of David forever. Now, we can also add the fact, when we think of kings, that Solomon, with the wisdom that God had given him, was pointing forward to Christ himself. Christ himself said, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, we can also learn from Hezekiah. He had both good and bad examples. Here the example is good. Previous kings had bad examples too. Do you boys and girls know why it's so important to learn this history of the Old Testament? One reason it's so important is because many times in the New Testament, there's a reference back to those stories of what really happened in the Old Testament and what they meant, how God was working His way of salvation and bringing the Savior. So that's important. It shows lessons that all of us need. So we should never underestimate the power of the Word of God with our children. David said in the Psalm that it was a lamp unto his feet and a light on his path. And when he was old, he remembered that, and it was still essential to him when he encountered troubles. So the lessons we learn early in life when we're young, those are lessons that are important and will stay with us. Oftentimes, those lessons are the most lasting ones. So we have to take the Word of God and all of this seriously. Now, Hezekiah was the son of one of Israel's worst kings, Ahaz. But just as Ahab left following God, Hezekiah did the opposite. He returned and he began anew. In those days, politics often played something for kings. That's why Ahaz married Jezebel. He thought that would be good. That would ally him with that other nation. But when Hezekiah came to be the king, he did nothing of the sort. Instead, he followed a simple policy. We could just say, trust and obey. He trusted the Lord in everything, and he obeyed all the things that the Lord told him he should do as a king. And that's why it's so important for us to remember that when there are presidents and kings and people in high places, we need to remember whatever we believe in our hearts, that is why we live in the way we do. Our lifestyle is determined by what's in here, by what we really believe. That's why we ought to be much in prayer for our nation, for so many godless people are in charge. President Obama, for example, needs to be converted. If we are to love everyone, the best thing you can do for someone is to pray for their salvation. And we need to do that. Now, the outstanding thing for Hezekiah was that he followed God in faith, and he did it with all his heart. We need to pray that God may raise up leaders like that for us in our land. And just as we acknowledge how wonderful that was of Hezekiah, it's also good to ask ourselves, what kind of a testimony am I leaving? What kind of a testimony are you leaving when the time comes for you to leave this life? What will people be able to remember that's good about you? Every day, people leave this life without the kind of testimony that Hezekiah left. And it's good to remind ourselves, as I just said, we're compiling a summary for ourselves, a summary of our lives. And we reveal what our lives were. Secondly, this revelation, just as we reveal that, this history of Hezekiah is not only a testimony, but God included it as part of the revelation we have. That's why we could read about it in the Bible. And it shows that Hezekiah was born again. The Bible continues to tell us what a person thinks in his heart. That shows his condition or his relationship to the Lord, doesn't it? It surely does. And it shows here in what Hezekiah accomplished. First, he used his power and his influence and his energy to reform the church of the Old Testament. He repaired the temple. He purged all of the corruption that there was out of the temple. Then he reopened it, which had been so neglected and polluted during the time of his father Ahaz. Here was a case of a son outdoing his father. Think about that. His son was outdoing his father. The opposite was true when Rehoboam followed Solomon. Remember that? He said he would make them pay more taxes. He would make them do more things than his father Solomon had done. But Hezekiah was a better king and lived closer to the Lord. And isn't that what we really want for our children? Don't we want them to outdo us? To be more spiritual, stronger Christians than we are ourselves? Have greater loyalty and devotion? You know, when we are Christians, we should be humble enough to admit our own shortcomings. We ought to desire to have our children surpass us spiritually. Be better Christians than we are. We shouldn't want, first of all, that they should have more things than we have, or more wealth, or more anything else, except a greater spirituality. Now, Hezekiah was a talented engineer, too, and a courageous leader. If you remember from the Bible, a lot of people skip over this, but Hezekiah was minded to have the water from the river have it diverted to flow underneath the wall of the city so that when the city was being besieged by other forces, the people would still have water to drink. So often in those days when a city was besieged, the water supply would run out because rivers were blocked or diverted and people were dying of starvation and surely of thirst. You can't go very long without water. But Hezekiah did that so that that city would also be able to withstand a siege. Now, can we pass all that off and say religion had nothing to do with it? Because there are brilliant people in this world who aren't religious at all. There may be even atheists. But the text helps us here because it says, all this was true of Hezekiah because of the state of his heart before the Lord. The words, and so he prospered, have God's own authority behind the conclusion that there is a connection between faith and religion and success. It's because he was right with God. Now, you know what was going on at the time? His father Ahaz had become the political servant of the Assyrians, even though God warned them, don't get involved with those pagan nations. Then Assyria came into neighboring Israel, so the two world powers were facing each other, Egypt and Assyria, and little Judah was in between. Now here comes Hezekiah to the throne. He did away with idolatry, restored the daily worship in the temple. He also saw to it that it was done in the right way, and he declared to the people, I want to be covenantally faithful to the Lord. And then what? Well, the people responded to that leadership in a wonderful way. They brought an abundance of those material things, as you heard, so much. The king and all the people rejoiced in their faithfulness and in their being cheerful givers, as the Lord loves. Now, just about that time comes Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, with this overwhelming force. He will destroy Judah in order to get at Egypt. You boys and girls remember what happened that night? The Lord sent, in answer to the prayer of Hezekiah, who did the Lord send? The angel of death. And he killed, how many? 185,000 soldiers. So that Sennacherib, the king, had to leave in shame. And when he got home, he was assassinated. That's what he got. What true stories there are in the Bible. Now, the central thing in the whole life of Hezekiah was that he followed the Lord and he did the Lord's will in obedience. And so he had a testimony of success with God and man. What an example. I think we need to remember that when we're thinking of the kind of legacy we'll leave to our children and to others. Now, Hezekiah is an example. That's the final thing we want to see. Everything that people do is a result of what they have in their hearts. That's true of unbelievers, and it's true of believers as well. Now, think about how Hezekiah was always concerned about one thing, doing God's will. Even in the times of the greatest crises, he always was concerned about that one thing, doing the will of God. And here's the question for us. Are we doing the same? Let that be our ideal. As Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. That was already true for Hezekiah, and it must be for us here until we experience heaven itself. Now, as we try to apply these truths, remember how Hezekiah concentrated all of his energies and priorities striving to do God's will. That's what gave him such stability. Then the result of all that, everything he did was done out of conviction, and it was done thoroughly with his whole heart, the text says, and that's what gave him enjoyment. Enjoyment? Yes. The enjoyment of a clear conscience that he had done the most first and most important things first without trifling with lesser things. And it should also be clear that his prayer life was also a mark of his piety. And that should be true of us too. Are you discouraged? You feel you cannot and are not making any contribution to the church and the kingdom? Begin by remembering this. God receives to himself every penitent person. And when we confess our sins, that's already a testimony. Someone wrote this short poem about the fruits we are to produce. Life is a sheet of paper white whereon each one of us may write his word or two, and then comes night. Greatly begin, though thou hast time for but a line, be that sublime. Not failure, but low aim is crime. Proof of our love for the Lord is found when our willing obedience comes from our hearts, the obedience that God calls for in his word. And then the fruit of repentance and faith will produce. If that's true of you, then you can know that you're a child on the way to glory. God bless you with that. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word, for its clarity. And we know that though it's spoken in human weakness, only the power of the Holy Spirit can apply it in a saving way. And we pray that you will do that for the glory of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the salvation of these people. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.